First, musicians have been hunkered down in their homes just like the rest of us. They've used online streaming to share their art and different sides of themselves. The band Bare Naked Ladies is one example. They started releasing tracks on YouTube with the four band members' parts recorded separately, calling them Selfie Cam Jams. Here's a little bit of their song, Lovers in a Dangerous Time. But the stay-at-home orders and business closings due to the coronavirus have also threatened the livelihood of lots of artists. Jeremy Morris is an assistant professor of media and cultural studies at UW-Madison. He's author of the book Selling Digital Music, Formatting Culture. Jeremy, welcome back to Central Time.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
Well, last time we talked to you, we talked about how internet streaming and the online world was changing the music business. Well, wow, we've seen a lot of changes even just in that time with the pandemic. What are you seeing, first of all, from musicians as they respond to this and try to keep contact with their fans?
Yeah, well, I think you're seeing a range of reactions, right? You're seeing people trying to use the technology in ways to find new forms of connection with their communities. Music has always been something that's pulled us together and drawn us together, especially during times of crisis. So I don't think it's surprising that you see musicians reaching out, trying to connect with their fans in different ways. I think you also see a lot of musicians very worried and struggling and wondering what's going to happen, where their next sort of income is going to come from. Our last conversation really was about, you know, how the streaming model might not be the best way to support royalties for artists. So we talked a lot about how important touring was and live shows were. And when you take that away from a lot of musicians, you know, all these festivals have been canceled. Where do they make up that revenue? How do they get by in these tough times, like a lot of other precarious workers?
Right. David Crosby told GQ, you know, they don't pay us for records anymore, right? I'm quoting here. So touring is all we got. That's really the only thing we can do to make any money, and to lose it is just awful. Now, that's a big name musician, and that's probably being felt across the board, as you were just saying, that revenue from touring, obviously, when we can't gather in one space, it's just not there. Are we seeing anything emerge to defray that for musicians?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's tough. I mean, that's the same interview where he said, you know, if I lose my tours, I might lose my home. Right.
Right.
I mean, it's this very precarious situation. And I think I sort of want to back up and sort of point that out. Right. It's not necessarily that this situation has kind of dried up opportunities for musicians to do stuff. It's that, you know, the opportunities for musicians to do stuff has always been a precarious way to make a living. It's always been difficult for musicians to make money. And, you know, if that's happening at the level of a star like David Crosby, imagine what's happening kind of down the chain. So, yeah, I think you are seeing other models emerging. People are trying to figure out ways to connect with their fans through sites like Bandcamp. You see platforms like SoundCloud and Spotify are trying to make it easier for musicians to allow fans to donate to some of their activities or to some of the causes that they support. So, you know, again, whether or not this is going to be enough to support them during these times, I'm not sure, right? I think everybody's going to be struggling. And again, it's not just musicians as precarious workers, but a lot of people in this kind of gig economy are facing these same questions.
I guess musicians in a lot of ways were the original gig economy workers in a lot of ways before, you know, the Ubers and things like that of the world came around.
Yeah, no, there's certainly, it's certainly always been a struggle of like, where's this going to come from? And some artists are able to make it through royalties of recordings, you know, if they get to a certain level. But oftentimes it has been about making these connections with fans through touring, through live shows. And so how do you keep that connection going in this time where it's often very difficult to do so? But a lot of people are turning to online, you know, live streams, other kinds of ways to deliver their songs and their sounds to their fans. And, you know, thinking about other models for how do we do this? I mean, we think about what music used to be, a kind of patronage model, right? Some artists are thinking that maybe that's a kind of way forward, right? Do I set up a subscription service where fans are able to contribute to my work and give me some kind of base level of ability to have time and resources to create that sound, that music that you love, and keep it sort of coming?
Talking to Jeremy Morris from UW-Madison, author of the book Selling Digital Music, Formatting Culture, talking about how safer at home orders, stay at home orders around the country are affecting the music business, how the online music world is evolving quickly in some ways, and the struggles facing artists today. Jeremy, do you think we're going to see innovations coming out of this with a lot more emphasis on live online performances that might stay with us even when this thing is over with?
That's a great question. I think you are certainly going to see a lot of attempts for people to find different ways to connect with their audiences. So some of that will be live streams. Some of that will be, you know, people hop on their Instagram account and they're like, okay, I'm going to do a DJ set for the next few hours. You can tune in if you want, right? And they may find that that ends up being a really useful and strong way to connect with fans and may find they get a lot out of that. Others may find that there are tech hiccups or that things don't work out well or that the sound just doesn't, come across the way they want it to, right? So I think it'll be a kind of artist-specific situation. I also think it depends on the level of artist you are, right? If you're an artist who has a large following already and you've built up your community, it's probably easier for you to say, hey, I'm going to go do a live stream for the next few hours and I'll have my fans tune in. It's harder for artists who are just starting out, who are touring, you know, local bars and trying to do that stuff, right? They're still in the mode of building an audience. So how are they going to adapt to that online environment and do something that sort of gets the word out about who they are, right, when they haven't even had that chance to sort of build up those connections previously?
Yeah, even setting aside the pandemic for now, there's this notion that the internet would be more democratic. It would allow content creators to come from out of nowhere and sweep the world. Has that been a more realistic dream to go viral online than the old-fashioned band dream of being discovered playing in a small club and getting the big record contract?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always that promise of new technology that it's somehow going to level the playing field. But as we discussed in the past, our last conversation, they're just ends up being new intermediaries in the process, right? So maybe the record label's power is a little bit diminished, but you also have the rise of Spotify, the rise of iTunes, Apple, and these platforms that now are very important mediators in those relationships that artists form with their fans. So yes, the internet has certainly allowed for new opportunities, and we're seeing that now in how artists are using this technology to connect with fans, even during these times. But does that necessarily mean it's going to be a model that works for everybody and that works equally for everybody? I'm not sure. The jury's definitely still out on that.
Let's look at our habits as the audience now. Spotify and SoundCloud and all these services, Apple Music, I think I see various numbers that, hey, when we're staying at home, more people are discovering these services, spending more time online listening to them. Is this something you think is going to stick? Is this, once it becomes a habit during this time of pandemic, we're going to keep, it's going to even increase the surge of people consuming music this way?
Yeah, I mean, I think music is always, I was trying to say earlier, music sort of provides a form of community and connection at all times, but especially during times of crisis. Like this, when we might be feeling a bit isolated, music allows us to experience emotions, a range of emotions maybe that we're not necessarily connecting with every day. So music can be an incredibly valuable tool during this time. I'll be interested to see if some of these experiences of live stream will continue happening afterwards, right? Even just from a social level, people are connecting more on video calls. They're calling their friends more often to fill up their social time, right? If we start filling that up with music, are we going to continue to sort of want to experience that when we're more freely able to go? Or are we just going to simply return back to the same patterns of how we used to consume music before? I think, there's certainly a great need now to sort of be with and experience your music collection in new ways. And I hope that that continues afterward. But I guess I've always felt that music serves that role, whether or not there's a sort of a crisis going on.
And Jeremy, if I could ask on a personal note, what have you turned to in this time for your musical edification?
I guess it depends on the day, but yesterday I was, I was exploring a period of time in Canadian indie. I grew up in Canada and did my PhD in Canada and Montreal right around when Arcade Fire and Wolf Parade were coming out in the early 2000s. So I was exploring a bunch of these bands that, you know, that was the biggest kind of musical community that I felt really a part of. I was able to go out to a lot of shows. I was able to be part of that music scene. And so for me, it was really about trying to connect back to that feeling of community that I had around that. And so I don't know if that's connected to how I was feeling or thinking about this interview, but yeah, that's where I was listening to bands like Land of Talk and Plants and Animals and some other great artists that came out of Montreal in that time.
Jeremy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Jeremy Morris, Assistant Professor of Media and Cultural Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We talked to him today about how musicians have been affected financially and creatively by the coronavirus pandemic and how audiences are changing the way they listen and get in contact with their favorite artists.